Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Thursday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you celebrate, man. Weather's bearable the last couple of days, at least in eastern Nebraska, and you probably experienced it in western and central Nebraska, sending it our way. So smile about that. We'll get into a lot of Nebraska football and Husker hoops discussion today. Can tap the line, Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House. Let you do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865 on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio. Can tweet at me, can tweet at Hail Varsity, can email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. On the program, we'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel. Vogel, a tremendous column in the recruiting issue of Hail Varsity Magazine. We'll get caught up with Vogues. We love talking with him. Next hour, 1 hour from now, Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NBA vet, and a guy that loves watching his Huskers, Eric Strickland, going to be with us. Strick will share some thoughts on this year's Nebraska basketball squad, some NBA news and notes, and we'll get caught up to see what Strick is doing. College football power ranking is out. Some thoughts from Brad Edwards. Charles Barkley went on Jimmy Kimmel, and it's a can't miss. We'll have some highlights of that. Nebraska and the tournament chase continues. We'll discuss that. Where I want to start, though, is with the Chamber of Commerce luncheon that happened yesterday. Matt Davison, Mark Boehm were there, and some just flat-out tremendous comments from Matt Davison. We'll clarify a couple of comments from Mark Boehm. And I always love hearing from Mark Boehm. Listen, here's my quick take, and maybe you've read it. Omaha.com reported it. Thank you, Matt Davison, for laying out what many of us felt, thought, or saw, or heard has been, was going on with the football program. Because you had a ton of moments last year where you see this talent, you figure out, you look at this system, and it should have been anything but 4-8. And you ended damn lucky to be 4-8. Just want to get down to it. And you just kind of go, eh. And you've moved on. I hope you've moved on, because you got Scott Frost, you got his passion, his insight, his intelligence, his track record, his history, his knowledge, his understanding. You have all those things. So it's going to be better culturally. And that's where I want to go with some of the things that were mentioned by Matt Davison. And Davison's just really good to listen to. Good stuff. If you haven't heard him, and I'm just kind of referencing his Creating Captains nonprofit. I mean, just passionate guy. So you look at Nebraska, and in the speech yesterday, my dad used to tell me about these all the time. Back in the day at the Lions Club, where I don't know if a writer or two were there, but it wasn't shared. Now everything's out and dissected and discussed, which is kind of cool. But the specialty of being a guy in the old Lions Club, where it was just you, it was a coach or a recruiting analyst or whatever. And I mean by recruiting analyst, one of the studs on Coach Osborne's staff were there to spend a half hour lunch with you once a week or twice a month. I don't know. I just know that my dad had a heck of a good time with it. Well, you have Davison discussing what's going on, and he kind of laid out the timeline here with how this thing went down with Frost. You had the phone call post-Northern Illinois, and paraphrasing here, but I'm busy here at Central Florida, Matt. Thank you for calling. Click. Okay. And this started 3 years ago after Bo was let go. The old idea floated by, sometime we'll have to ask Scott Frost if Davison was his favorite wide receiver. But for now, we'll say his favorite wide receiver. So, post-Minnesota, everyone's reaching for vodka or something brown that can take the pain away because P.J. Fleck went 54-21 on you. And now you move forward to making the move. And it's all been about Matt Davison and Bill Moose and you know, Frost is here and things are cranking up. But things highlighted in the speech yesterday when it comes to just things that have been going on for 15 years that you felt and really had seen on the field as it deteriorated at one point or another different during different coaching regimes, the internal leadership. And a couple of things that were highlighted in this discussion, in this speech with the Chamber of Commerce, was recruiting and the old staff. And the other part about it is accountability. So I want to start first with recruiting. Davison mentioned the last staff caught up in the star rankings. Totally believe that. Why? Why were they caught up in the star system? You have different theories. How are you going to go recruit? What are you going to do? I think Bo's theory is, well, work hard. There's no breather for rebuilding. You got to win now. You got to win all the time. So we're going to get who we can get. There's always constant pressure. And from an organization standpoint, I don't know how organized it was. Bill Callahan wanted to do a little bit of splash, show off his big brain, and he is a good football coach as an offensive line guru. But you have guys that just, are you about the wow off the field or on the field? And you've had, you know, Solich post-Osborne. Frank just kind of evaluated film and so did the staff, and this guy fits, let's go get him. The Osborne system, the way Wisconsin's done it, the way Barry Alvarez has done it. I mean, and that's what you're going to get back to. But from a leadership standpoint and the old staff and recruiting, they were stargazers. They were caught up on it. And Matt mentioned to the Chamber of Commerce, player character not looked at enough, fit in Nebraska not looked at enough. And that's going to be different with Scott Frost. They won't take a kid if they don't like the kid. They can love the film, but is the kid an a-hole or not? I remember John Thompson saying that in one of the ESPN 30 for 30s. Do we hate this kid or not? He's good, but can we stand him? The other part, too. Program accountability when it comes to weights. So I asked why this past staff got caught up in stargazing. And you look at the three-headed monster of the last staff. That's Eichhorst, that's Riley, that's Billy Devaney. And I'm just floored that this was the choice, this was the way to go. Let's go win February. Because Riley came from a place that never, ever recruited well. He had to evaluate and develop. And being a protege of Barry Alvarez, Sean Eichhorst knows the Wisconsin way, the Wisconsin blueprint. So I don't get it. Because where you grew up usually kind of forms how you're going to be from a coaching or an administrative standpoint, and it's two major whiffs, okay? So that kind of leaves Billy Devaney. Well, Billy had been in the NFL for the longest time and came back to college. And maybe his solution was to just, well, go get NFL dudes. Go get the highest ranked star guys you can be. Because they'll end up being NFL guys. It's not that simple. And it's different looking at high school to college film versus college to NFL film. Not blaming, I'm saying between those three, it got into, well, there's nothing real positive on the field, the champion. Not very physical. Got to survive this because this is our hire. We made this move. We moved on from Pelini. So let's just keep selling hope until it works. Until we fake it till we make it. That's the route they chose. But I'm just kind of floored that that's the route they chose. It's getting dicey. It's getting, you know, what's going to happen after 9-4? And this happens after 9-4. So some interesting comments from Davison. So when it comes to accountability and the leadership style, that is the biggest, most important thing here. Is how are you going to lead? And is this going to be romper room or is this going to be a dictatorship? You can have fun. You can build relationships. And it all starts with quite a bit of honesty and transparency, I believe, with this staff and with Frost. And it starts to not be a problem the longer you're together. We'll get to the phones here in a minute. The more Frost can connect with you as a recruit, the more you're going to believe and buy in as you mature once you get to campus. And if you're told to do something, you're not going to really question it. You're going to do it because it's your and the program's best interest in mind. And if you're one of those kids, well, why do I got to do that? Well, you're not going to probably be recruited to be here. You're not robots. You're not brainwashed. You'll have choices, but there'll be repercussions with the wrong choices. And it takes that leadership of hands-on and knowing what's going on and having a plan and being a college coach. And again, you had an NFL-type club med mentality that was hands-off, accountability, it's up to you, and that's just too darn bad if you don't make the right decision. Oh, well. You'll grow up and learn from it. Well, great. Meanwhile, you're 4-8 on the field. And you got young guys seeing old guys say, screw it, I'm not showing up. Why should I? So some great points, some interesting thoughts from Matt Davison and Mark Boehm yesterday at the Chamber of Commerce. But it really just kind of comes down to, you know, the stargazing and then the lack of accountability. That stuff you've heard, that stuff you've watched, that stuff you felt like, it was put into words. And I say thank you for putting it out there in public by two Nebraska officials. Here's what's up. Here's what you're up against. And it's got a long ways to go. Nate's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Nate, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Oh, Chris, my dear friend, how are you?
Good, man.
So, good commentary. Don't mean to sidetrack the show, but kind of breaking news. CBS has just updated their bracket thing. Assuming we win out and lose the rubber match with Michigan, that puts us at a 47% chance to get in as a 12 seed, and they have us matched up against either Gonzaga, St. Mary's. Who the hell were the other two? Gonzaga, St. Mary's, West
Boise
Virginia.
Is a play-in.
What's that?
Boise is a play-in.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of the fourth one. It was St. Mary's, Gonzaga, West Virginia, Nevada. Nevada was the fourth.
Okay.
So
we have that on our list to get to after Vogel, the CBS
Sports. I figured you would. Mm-hmm. That was a really – but those are some weird matchups. I mean, I think West Virginia is the only one that would be competitive against us.
Well,
I mean,
that those other that'd be,
don't have any kind of buddies, the old Rogi or Palmer.
No, and that's the thing, too. You had a chance to get a shot at Huggy Bear.
Yeah.
And you didn't get it done in the tournament earlier.
Wouldn't that be funny? I mean, I feel like we're going to be underseeded no matter what because our athletes are more capable and now more mature and more gelled than our ranking and our status actually shows, because, you know, it took time to get a team of essentially six new players to start playing together.
It did. Nate, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it.
Always.
All right. So, breaking news. Actually, news we've read, and we'll get in there. That's a bit of a change from CBS, because I think Jerry Palm still doesn't have much faith in Nebraska. Again, we said it yesterday, man, that narrative's going to change. The more, wow, look at Nebraska. Wow, look at Nebraska. So your eyes will kind of change what you see on paper during the Pythagorean theorem you're trying to spit out, as I try and spit Pythagorean out again. It's going to change how it's going to change your mind. What you see will change what you read. As far as, well, Nebraska is short, they're shy. Yeah, we'll get into plenty of Nebraska basketball. And that update, we'll break it down. Vogue's had an incredible write-up on Nebraska. Shocker there. We'll get his take on the program. We'll get his take on some Husker basketball. Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity next. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Working on getting back on air in Lincoln. You can hear us ESPN Lincoln app, iHeart app. And hello to Western, Central, and Northeast Nebraska. Presumably, we're still on there. So Colton is going to run and find somebody who can feed the hamsters. We're going to welcome in Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm okay. I had breaking news specifically for the Lincoln crowd, but I guess I'll hold off on that until we know they can hear it.
Well, we can reiterate. That what's the breaking news, Vogues?
Oh no, I was just kidding. I as usual, I don't have much except for my
latest Brandon Vogel bracketology has Nebraska a 2 seed, and in the dance, right?
Exactly. My sources tell me it's a done deal. Like they could lose out, and they're still in.
Still
so impressive has the sort of wherewithal of this team been.
I understand that. Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. So I want to go to Matt Davison and Mark Boehm, and I wanted to get your take here on Davison's comments. And listen, the two things that stuck out to me, one, the accountability, two, the recruiting. And not to rehash or rip the old scab off, but why do you think the previous staff was so hell-bent on stars? I know people like it. It feels good. But they really kind of bought in. And it's kind of a departure of the Wisconsin way, where Eichhorst was kind of groomed, okay? And it's also a departure of the Riley way, where he's pulling the 89th recruiting class and going JUCO all the time at Oregon State. It's not how they lived, you know, throughout their careers usually, but you got here. I think we're back on. That's pretty nice. Maybe not. Anywho, I'm just fascinated. The more you look into it, the more that's where they wanted to go with things. And it's not what they've been most of their career.
Yeah. I think you run into a little bit of a danger of a little bit of star chasing when you maybe don't have quite a clear idea or plan for what you want to do. Now, obviously, they knew what they wanted to do offensively, but when they got here, they had a quarterback who kind of wasn't that mold, and they did a decent enough job kind of working around that. Defensively, we obviously saw a change, you know, in a year after they made some gains under Mark Banker, still sort of made that change. So when I look back at those 3 years, just that chunk of it, you kind of wonder, okay, did they know exactly what they wanted to be? And I think some of that comes with
the long history at Oregon State. You know, we talk about Nebraska's recruiting challenges all the time, but you want to talk about challenges, that staff probably said, let me take you to Corvallis and show you what recruiting to there is like. So there was a little bit of that. So when I look at this staff, you know, they kind of have that, you know, they know the pieces that they need, they know the pieces that they want, and that's going to come first before any sort of recruiting wins in terms of the traditional ranking methods. But when the wins aren't coming on the field, we've seen that if you're making them on the recruiting trail, they can sort of extend your lifespan a little bit.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, tip of the cap to you and Greg and Babbers and Jacob and Derek. Just phenomenal issue with recruiting and the latest issue that's out for Hail Varsity Magazine. I wanted to spend a second here on your column, Why Not Both? What both are you talking about, sir, if folks haven't picked up the magazine?
Yeah, I find that we frequently break down kind of the overall picture of college football success into two categories. And so we know that recruiting rankings matter to a degree. We know that they're not perfect. We know that sometimes three stars can be better than five stars, but everybody wants to see that accumulation of talent as high as you can get it. I've always kind of been in the camp of, give me the choice between an above average recruiter and an above average coaching staff. I'll take the coaches. I think that has the most value. But with sort of the unique blend that I think Nebraska has going on in that recruiting to a system, which is key, but also the buzz that the staff has coming from UCF, and I have no sort of reservations or doubts that they're going to bring above average coaching. I think that's the biggest thing that they bring. Why not have sort of all of those things, the best of both worlds? I think the staff has a chance to elevate recruiting from where Nebraska traditionally is. Now, I don't think we're ever going to wake up 10 years from now and just be used to and expecting top 10 classes. But I think it can be elevated from where it's been. And I'm very confident that the coaching side of things is going to be elevated and has already started to be. So those are the both that I refer to in that headline.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. We are, I think, back on in Lincoln, so thanks for your patience with that. We're discussing the column from Brandon, Why Not Both? That's recruiting and that's coaching, high-end recruiting, above-average recruiting, above-average coaching. And you pair it together, hey, boom, you have the 1970 through 2001. Is it that simple?
I don't know if I'm quite ready to go that far yet, but you look at so you look at Oregon, and you know, I wrote a little bit more about this on the website this week, talking about recruiting rankings basically from 2000 on, and Nebraska ended up with an average class of about, well, their average class is 25th, 26th, which was 21st overall over that span. Oregon came in three spots higher. And you sort of look at what Oregon was able to achieve with that level of talent, with an offense pretty similar to what Nebraska's going to run. And, you know, they played for two national championships. And no guarantees that that's going to happen in Lincoln. But I think it shows you how much sort of a small gain on the recruiting front has the potential to help Nebraska when you pair it with that top 10, top 5 level of coaching. And again, you know, a lot still needs to happen, but I think Nebraska has a chance to have that sort of level.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, at Brandon L. Vogel. And in the sidebar here with your column, Nebraska's average class from 87 through 99 was almost, well, it was right below 15th. I mean, they did well. Yeah. I always looked at, and I don't have the formula for this, but I'd look at what Nebraska did, or I'd look back and see where they were. When we're talking almost 20 years ago, when the internet came out and you had Rivals and that's it. And then you still have the blue chip magazine you'd subscribe to, right? So yep. Nebraska'd always be like 20 through 25.
Yep.
And then they'd always end up between 5 and 15. So they would upsell and overdevelop those kids to a ranking of maybe 7 to 10 spots better than they were.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, you know, because that era of recruiting, so basically pre-2000, is kind of what I call the Wild West. It's guys were doing it, but there was no Rivals. There was no one place you went to find out how good somebody's recruiting class was. So tracking those things down is pretty difficult, and coming up with average class rankings, you're dealing with some small sample sizes. But I think you're right. So even as Nebraska was winning more games than anyone during that stretch, and as powerful as that program has ever been during the stretch in the 90s, it wasn't like they were recruiting like Alabama. So the notion that Nebraska has always been a place where you have to, quote-unquote, coach them up a little bit is true to a degree. But I think it's also important to realize that, hey, those classes were still at a sort of elevated level from where things have been since then. So that's where you're trying to get to. You're trying to get to that happy medium. Because like I said, I don't think, you know, 10 years down the line, we're going to be like, well, top 10 classes in Nebraska are just normal now. You know, Nebraska is Georgia, essentially, when it comes to recruiting. Based on location and some other factors, it's going to be tough to be that. But if you can stack the coaching on top of it, you've got a chance to do some pretty special things.
I think you can get top 10 development, and that's where you're going to make it work, and you're going to have depth, and it'll work out. Vogue's got about 2.5 minutes left. Let's switch gears to basketball. And the latest CBS projections have Nebraska as a 12 seed in the tournament. We'll get into that a little bit further. But are we putting cart before horse here with these three remaining games, or are you pretty comfortable these guys stay focused? Right now, I mean, James Palmer's talking to our dear friend Rick Pizzo on BTN. I mean, the love has intensified. The buzz has continued.
It really has. And, you know, credit to James because of the level that he has played at. But also to the team as a whole, because, you know, as we've talked about before, for people who follow Nebraska basketball closely, there's nothing so terrifying as a sort of stretch of games Nebraska, quote unquote, should win. that's nothing to be taken for granted. But they've answered the bell here now a number of times, and it seems like they're in a pretty good spot in terms of knowing they have to do that, but not letting that knowledge kind of weigh them down. You know, they've gone through a variety of different kind of games here to maintain the winning streak they've had, and they've still managed to come out on top. So I think they're in a pretty good spot. You know, there's kind of no other path for them at this point other than to keep winning as many as they can and then wait and see if it's good enough.
Vogues, what's coming up from you? Got about 30 seconds left. It's coming up from HailVarsity.com. And again, go get the recruiting issue with Hail Varsity Magazine.
Yeah, so we're, of course, turning the page to 2019 recruiting a little bit there in terms of conversations I've had with Greg Smith and things. So I'm kind of excited about some of the things we have on tap there. And then we've been going kind of wall-to-wall basketball. So I've been really happy with our coverage on that front. And it's only going to amp up from here as Nebraska kind of remains in this sort of gray state where we're not quite sure if they're in or out, but they're doing everything we can to get there. So that's kind of the next week or two for us in terms of content on HailVarsity.com.
Vogues, you're awesome. Thanks for that breaking news earlier that most of Lincoln didn't hear, brother.
Yeah, you know, well, that's what we have podcasts, so.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Eric Strickland coming up in about 20 minutes. Time for you to get to Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Maybe it's health and fitness time for you. Maybe you want to lose weight, get in shape, feel better. Wellness goals can be achieved with Madonna Proactive. 402-420-0000. Set up a time. Go see Madonna Proactive at 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. Get the tour and find out just why it's the best facility, in my opinion, in the city limits here of Lincoln, or just how beautiful and wonderful it is. A TRX studio, a spinning studio, a yoga studio, cushioned walking tracks. He did aqua track indoors, full basketball court, and state-of-the-art cardio equipment. That screams getting in shape. And if you're trying to get ready for that 10K or half marathon or Ironman, Madonna can help you as well. So they are at 56th and Pine Lake here in Lincoln, 402-420-0000, madonnaproactive.org. Stop by and get your tour in and see how just wonderful that facility is. And a new pickleball setup is there for you, too, which is good stuff if you like playing that. Okay, I was telling you about Madonna Proactive and basketball. Let's get to basketball as we have Bubble Watch to discuss. That is a weekly discussion. And depending on the outlet, you could get into it daily. So the Bracketology by Jerry Palm has been updated. And we're talking about a couple hours ago. It came out. And the bubble discussion is Houston. We highlighted Houston's wins, what they've done, where they're at. I don't know what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Penn State is there. And Temple. Penn State's got a chance tonight to get that second signature win because, of course, they've already gone to Ohio State. But if they sweep the Buckeyes, that's impressive. Florida State whacked Clemson. You have Mississippi State and Florida still in search. And then Cincinnati. How about the Natty? They've been breezing through. I think they're 25-2 or 25-3. And Cincinnati is there. Houston needs to avoid having a problem, which is letting that signature win opportunity slip. You have Penn State, Middle Tennessee State's good. USC, is it Oregon? SC and Nebraska right now, they are elbowing each other in the paint being the dance. Washington is there too. Here's a real question. Get a couple beers in the other selection committee members. Not Rass, but the others. And just flat out, I'll get your next round. Who do you hate more, the Pac-12 or the Big Ten? Because isn't that what you're feeling as a Nebraska fan? You feel ganged up on. You feel disrespected. You feel like you're going to miss an opportunity and you're going to be wronged. You're going to be hosed. And I'm telling you this. Trust me. They keep doing their thing. No matter what they put down, say they're stuck with, well, is Michigan a quad one or non-quad one? Who cares? Eventually, if Nebraska keeps doing their thing, by the time they get to New York City, they'll stay hot. They'll take care of it. They will over-deliver a seed number to you, the Nebraska basketball fans, if they can just stay focused. Okay, they aren't going to be able to convince anybody by – they could beat Illinois by 70. And, well, Illinois is garbage. Get to the phones here in a minute, so if you're there, hang on. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Can't lose. You can win by one and just get out of Dodge. Indiana, win at home. No one cares. They're – in the hundreds. Penn State, you got to take down. Penn State's a good win. Maryland's a good win. It hasn't changed, and it won't change. What can change, though, is, again, the Nebraska run they're on, being one of the top, most hot, like scorching teams heading into March, and then just doing damage in New York City. And if they fall short, say they get knocked out by a good Michigan team, getting way ahead of ourselves here. I'm assuming they win. Listen, they lose any of these remaining three games, they got to win Big Ten tournament. That's what's going to have to happen, or they're out. But now Nebraska has a chance right now to stay hot, make their case, and make folks forget about the question of, well, who have they beat and are they any good, to look how good this team is. They'll shift because of their eyes and what they see with Nebraska. Gary, go ahead, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm hearing a whole bunch of stuff and people are all over the place. A week or so ago, I was listening to one of the broadcasts on BTN, and I don't know who it was. It's probably Nick Baugh, because Nick Baugh doesn't know anything.
See, I'm going to stop you there, Gary, because Nick's a guy I know, and I think he knows a lot, to be honest with you.
He probably does, and I don't know if it was him or not, but whoever it was, even at that time, they were saying that they thought that Nebraska had to win the Big Ten tournament to get in no matter what.
I got to rewatch it. At times you can hear and see things that maybe you don't fully – I don't think I recall that. But the attitude about Nebraska is changing, Gary, because folks are now paying attention to Nebraska. They see Nebraska. As long as Nebraska doesn't stub their toe, I think you're going to have public opinion shift to the side of Nebraska because of how good they look.
Yeah. If they go 2-1 in the next three games, and that what does that make them, 22-something? I heard a
22-9.
Yeah, I heard a stat the other day that said nobody in the Big Ten with seven conference wins or less, or 20 wins or more, has never gotten into the tournament.
No, I mean, it would be unheard of, but Nebraska's already approached this ground once before. They were a 10-win Power 5 team that finished top four in the Big 12 back in 98. They got left out, so it's happened to them once. It just comes down to, can the Big Ten kind of get some more cred? It comes down to perception. You got to watch, and well, what your eyes show you change what you see on the balance sheet with a very, very shifting quadrant system that's new and being used for the first time. Gary, love you listening, man. Thanks so much for calling, bud.
All right. Take care, sir.
See ya. There he is. 466-377-6800-825-5865. I think the way Nebraska's kept playing, if they win out the regular season, they don't need to win the Big Ten tournament. Lot to ask.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Okay, Eric Strickland's 10 minutes away. Husker legend, Hall of Famer, his take on this year's Nebraska team, the tournament, some NBA. How is Valentine's Day? 80s action star Colton Stone. Where did you go? Where did you take your lady?
We went to Biagi's in Omaha on Saturday.
Right.
So we did a little early. And then last night we got noodles and company.
Okay.
And just kind of hung out, and school and everything. It being on a weekday, it was kind of, figured we'd celebrate early and then just kind of chill, hang out.
See, that sounds like a pleasant evening. Did you both enjoy your dinner?
Yeah.
Did you finish your dinner? Did both of you?
I did.
Okay.
She took the rest home.
Okay, that's fine. I got suckered into a phone call. I mean, the shot clock's about to hit 6 yesterday. Mm-hmm. The lovely bride wants to go to dinner. It's Valentine's Day. And of course, Junior's like, well, I want to go too. So I'm like, fine. So we go somewhere. And I was like, you know, it's 6 o'clock. You should have figured this out a week ago.
Right.
Because I'm not grumpy or angry or anything. And she finds a place that changed their menu. So she was not happy with them. So we go to a different spot, and I get shaken down for this, you know, feast platter deal. She has her salad and baked potato. You know, she looks at the potato and waves at it, doesn't eat it, and then eats the salad, and it's a waste of money. It's my life. And then kid eats four bites, could have got a kid's meal. So I'm going to have leftovers till like Sunday of, you know, pretty good barbecue stuff. But still, you can't eat all of that.
Why? Well, I mean, I could.
You could. But I should have just said, Colton, we're going to go split dinner. It's not weird. I'm just, if I'm buying, damn it, you better eat it.
Right.
And I got hosed last night.
And it's like one thing if, you know, you eat most of it and then you plan on eating it like for lunch the next day.
Right.
But it's another if it's like you barely touch it.
And that's what he did. It was just frustrated and irritated with him. The old eyes is bigger than stomach.
That usually never happened with me, I guess. With my family knew I could eat, so they kind of just free rein and until
I hit a wall. I need to reinstate this for 2018. In 2017, if we went out to dinner and he didn't eat, he got fined. Like his little, you know, piggy bank got raided. And it's $7, dude. That was what the stupid kids meal you had to have cost. So that's $7 out of your KD slush fund. So there we go. I want to tell you about your friends at AgriGold before we get to Eric Strickland. You notice that different soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year? That's AgriGold. Customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm. The AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach no different with soybeans, high-performance soybeans, from a brand you already know. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. Lots to come next hour. We'll run down Eric Strickland, Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NBA vet. We'll get into the College Football Power Index a bit. And you'll also hear from Charles Barkley on the do's and don'ts of if you think you're being traded, per the Jimmy Kimmel Show last night. You can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at @Schmidt_radio, and can hear us on the ESPN Lincoln app or the iHeartMedia app now. Take us with on your device. Hour 2, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at @Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 10-year NBA vet, Hall of Famer, standout for Bellevue West, Eric Strickland with us at eStrick20 on Twitter, NIT champion, multiple time, guy who took the Nebraska Cornhuskers to the NCAA tournament most of his career. Strick, how are you?
Hey, doing good, man. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well, and Nebraska basketball fans still smiling about the win over Maryland, and just being 20-8 at this point in the season hasn't happened since your freshman year, man.
No, that's actually an awesome feat. You know, it looks like they've been real gritty and they've bought in and they're believing in one another and they're trusting one another. And it looks like they're playing really good basketball. And to go on the road and win some of the games that they've happened to pull out on the road in the Big Ten has been a phenomenal feat for them. That's awesome.
Strick, I wanted to ask you, right now, being part of a Nebraska team, I don't think you guys ever really had to sweat as far as getting in. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was there a season that you remember, aside from the NIT championship season where you guys got left out, was there any sweating going on most of your career? Did you guys feel like you were in?
Well, I think we kind of, going down the stretch of different situations, we understood what we needed to do. We knew going in that maybe we needed to win one game in the Big 8 tournament, or, you know, we kind of had an understanding if we went out the rest of the games in our season and we take care of these two at home, we maybe split one on the road, and then we knew we could get in. So we kind of had an idea as to what we needed to do in order to get in. There really wasn't sweating. It was the sweating part was knowing what we had to do and having to go out and execute it, that was pretty much the sweating. But as far as sitting there, no, we kind of had an idea.
How do you think Nebraska's dealt with the uncertainty around the projections? Most folks really respect this team, know they're good, also know the reality that the Big Ten is down. There's no benefit of the doubt this year because of some of the non-conference quad one type scenarios when you look at the Big Ten against some other Power Fives and strength of schedule and so forth. How do you think this team's dealing with the task at hand?
Yeah, I think they're managing it well. I think they've identified roles. They've come to an understanding as to, you know, what their roles are on the team. And each night, they're looking like they're being consistent. And whenever there is a fall off in one area of their game, there's guys that stepping in and filling voids. It looks like they're doing a good job fundamentally as far as executing their defensive game plans and rebounding and doing what's necessary, getting extra opportunities and sharing the ball. And they're just really executing. And that's what you got to do in order to win and be successful in the Big Ten and in any conference. You have to be able to execute the game plan and do so. And I thought they were doing a good job in doing that.
Husker Hall of Famer Eric Strickland, 10-year NBA vet with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Some thoughts on Nebraska's march is around the corner. Palmer and Roby have really emerged. Can't forget Copeland either. Just a great bunch of options for Nebraska and Coach Miles. With Palmer, what do you like most about Palmer? And then what are you impressed with by Roby? Let's focus on those two guys real quick.
Well, I mean, whenever you come into a new team and you're trying to establish and understand the nuances of the team is about and each player and find out where you fit in that, it's always tough. And I thought, you know, that's one thing that Palmer has been able to do. Roby in his youth, it looks like he's developed, you know, his body, his size. He's worked on elements of his game to expand those things, to not be one-dimensional. And so, you know, you find him doing a lot of different things and a lot of different array of scoring and being effective, making noise and making waves amongst the team whenever he needs to do so. They've been great. You know, it looks like that's going to be a great tandem. But then you add in the other players, and each of them are making timely shots, and each of them is getting timely rebounds or steal or making plays defensively and whatever in order to secure and win games. And that's what they've been doing as a whole. And they got a little bit better depth, and that's what they needed. If they can get even stronger play out of their big men, that's going to even make them more dangerous. So we'll see.
Things are great. Nebraska's winning. They've reeled off consecutive wins. They're winning on the road. How did you deal with your role? It grew, obviously, as your career continued. But that's been an issue for Nebraska. Guys unhappy with their role, hence the number of transfers. How did you deal with it? And how do you think Coach Miles has dealt with it this season in comparison to previous years?
Well, I think Coach Miles has handled it in a phenomenal way. I mean, he let the guys go that didn't feel that, you know, they wanted to adhere to their roles, and went out and found guys that wanted to do so. You know, for me personally, you know, I knew my role was dual in nature. I knew I was, you know, defensively supposed to get the toughest assignment each night, and then I knew I also had to do things offensively. I think we had an offensive style that helped us to be very well balanced. So it wasn't, you know, necessary for me on any given night to have to score 20 or more points or so forth and so on. We ran a, you know, an extensive motion game. A lot of ball movement, a lot of reaction, a lot of backdooring, a lot of cuts, a lot of, you know, different sets like that where we didn't necessarily have one-on-one opportunities. And in most cases, we did have post opportunities in different situations. But I think that's what's unique. I think they run a different style of offense than probably we ran. And so guys are going to get opportunities to fill different roles that are available to them based on the success that they're having.
Strick, you look at this Nebraska offense, and it's different, man. I mean, guys are sharing the ball. The ball's moving. It's some tempo to it, and it's free. Why do you think it's so much better? Is it because of the talent that's emerged, or do you think Coach Mile was able to kind of get out of the guy's way, not maybe be so stringent with what he was wanting.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I think he's shifted the offense to fit what he has. Mm-hmm. You know, the personnel that he has. I think that's something that he didn't do in the past. He kind of had a way that he wanted to play the game and, you know, just tried to, you know, mold the guys into that specific way of playing. But I think he's allowing them a little more freedom to make decisions. I think he trusts them to make the sound decisions and play, and I think that's enabled the guys to be able to flow with a little freedom in the way that they're playing the game. And I think he's doing a good job if they get out of hand. I thought he did that early. I think, you know, there were some games where guys kind of lost their way, or even in seasons past, and you know, maybe he didn't sit them. But I think he's doing a good job of, you know, sitting them down if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, and if they're not, you know, hot or cold or whatever, and he's trusting the other guys to come in and make plays, and that's kind of, you know, making everybody step up, you know.
Eric Strickland, Husker Hall of Famer, with his Hail Varsity Radio, his thoughts on Nebraska basketball. Strick, we'll get into some NBA and what you're doing in a minute, but in or out, yes or no, does Nebraska make the tournament this year? What do you think?
You know, I think if they continue to win, and if they win out, I mean, they've got some games that they can win. Mm-hmm. I think they win the three of the four, you know, win one in the tournament, I think they'll get in, you know, no question. I think they'll be anywhere between a five, maybe a five and an eight. If they win out, they'll be between a five and an eight, could push a four. Mm-hmm. But if they win out and then they really make some noise, they can jump up in that 3-5 range, you know, pretty quickly. If they make some noise in the tournament, you know, pressing, winning or coming in second.
Yeah, I mean, if they get to the finals, I think it could really – they could go from bubble to watch out. You know, go to that that area. Yeah. Strick, you're doing some accounting. You're doing real estate. You're also reffing. How is Eric Strickland towards officials? Let me ask you that. And how is Eric Strickland dealing with fans and players from a Fuse standpoint? You've flipped the script, my man.
Yeah, I think I was pretty understanding of officials. Of course, you know, I challenged them if I, you know, thought I wasn't getting a good hand. I mean, there was times when I'd have to go to officials prior to games. And, you know, if I was guarding Allen Iverson one day or something and I had an assignment, I'm like, hey, man, listen, he's 160 and I'm 215. So if he bumps into me, don't buy into him, you know, flopping and falling. You know what I mean? I'm not going to move. So, you know, I do different things like that. You know, you had some issues with certain referees, but I thought I was pretty approachable, and I thought I approached referees pretty much with good respect, you know, when I played. And I think now I try to do that. I try to, you know, assimilate my knowledge as a coach and as a player and have discussions. I'm very aware of, you know, escalation of situation, tensions and different things, different areas, how to address coaches. You know, pretty much in the way that I handle that. And I love this aspect of it as well, and being a part of the game still, just from another point of view. And it's been excellent. I truly enjoy it. I have plans to, you know, go to some Division I stuff this year coming up. And,
awesome.
You know, look to break in. I don't know if I'll be doing any Big Ten games, but you know, I'm looking to, you know, get maybe in the West Coast Athletic Conference and that consortium, or maybe do some SWAC and also looking into the SEC consortium.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see.
That's awesome, man. That sounds great. Let's talk NBA for a minute. Cleveland and T. Lou and LeBron, of course, the trade went down, and it's a new lineup. It's a new squad. They still your favorite in the East? Do you think they'll weather things? Do you think they'll be okay? And do you think T. Lou's feeling stress or pressure?
Man, I don't know what to make of what's going on in Cleveland, to be honest with you. I wish I was, you know, a genie or a guru or some type of fortune teller with regard to what's happening and what's going on and what they're thinking. And And obviously their moves to do big three type of moves like Golden State didn't work. And so they've surrounded themselves with, some role guys and you know, trying to figure that whole thing out. You just don't know. It seems like there's a lot of inconsistency. There's some ups and downs. There's waves of good and waves of bad. And, you know, how they fare towards the end is going to be totally up to them. I feel for TV trying to juggle that whole thing and that, you know, trying to put all of that together, and you got a whole new squad and you're trying to figure out what you're going to run to make yourself effective each night. And so we'll see, you know, whether they can get over the hump or not is going to be another issue. And, you know, of course, you know, the top echelon of the West is pretty tough. And, you know, anybody that comes out of that side is going to be pretty tough. And we'll see.
Houston or Golden State, when it's all said and done, we're at the All-Star break now.
Man, I really like Houston, man.
I think they're awesome.
Of course, Golden State, they're phenomenal. But Houston is you know, you can't sleep on them. I mean, they've got something going. They've got something going down there. And you know, I wouldn't count them out. You know, anytime you have James Harden and, you know, those guys, it's kind of, hey, they figured out, hey, this is what it is. He's making plays and he's also scoring and he's tough to stop. And I don't know if they have anybody that can handle that. I mean, they're going to throw waves at him, of course. That's what they're going to do. They're going to throw Thompson. They're going to throw Durant. They're going to throw waves of guys at him. But, you know, to try to wear him down. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Just watching Portland Golden State to try and get, you're not going to get sleepy watching them, but it was late. So I was watching that, and Bill Walton was doing the game, and Bill's hilarious. He's entertaining. He can also be annoying depending on what cup of tea you like. Did you ever have any interaction with Bill Walton? Did you ever have the pleasure of spending time with Bill Walton?
Not personally, but of course, you know, Bill Walton did spend some time on the sidelines, and yes, he is a character. And as he ages, he's even more funnier, you know, than in his past. He'll say whatever and, you know, act on whatever. But that's just kind of how he was. But, yeah, you know, he's a great guy. I just haven't had an opportunity to spend personal time with him, in any of my years. But,
last thought here.
Never heard nothing but good things about him.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty good soul. Strick, last thought, L.A., Magic and LeVar here. What happens moving forward? Does this end peacefully?
You know, me personally, if I'm Magic, you know, I tell him, like, on any of the gifts, bye, Felicia. You know, I think that's a no-win situation. You know what I mean? I think somebody trying to, I don't want to say anything bad on the radio, but to hold you by the, you know what I mean? With that type of situation, I think that's a no win. You know, I can only foresee him going by maybe a LeBron move in, you know, and then you look at, maybe I think the only person that'll take that situation is going to be a small market team, you know, somebody that wants to raise, you know, the eyeballs on TV, maybe to them, you know, a Memphis or, you know, even a Cleveland, you know, a Minnesota or, you know, a small market team that really just wants to raise the eyebrows and bringing in that kind of foolishness. But, you know, having to take those three is, that's a lose-lose, plus dealing with that, you know, I don't think that's good.
Strick, you're awesome, man. Know you're busy. Know it's tax season. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes, and we'll get caught up down the road, bud.
All right, man. Appreciate you always. Yeah, good to talk to you, Chris. Take care, man.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
You know, I love Strick's optimism with this basketball team. If they win out, win the whole thing in New York City, maybe a 3 seed, but maybe we're anywhere between a 5 and an 8 if they win out and show well and maybe not win the Big Ten tournament. A lot of work to do, a lot of wood to chop. There you go. You can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Let you do that, 466-3776. 866-366-3776, 800-825-5865. A couple more thoughts from the Chamber of Commerce get together. Mark Bame, Nebraska Associate Athletic Director, Executive Associate Athletic Director, has it on pretty good authority that Nebraska, if they win their final three games, it'll make the NCAA tournament. That is good news. That is great news. That's a 99% chance news. Win two out of three, and your chances drop to 72%. Just win, man. I implore you to read Derek Peterson's The March to March, the latest rundown. Be scanning your Thursday night scores. A lot of bubble bursting opportunity, and Nebraska could move up. So here's what you just can't lose to really anybody, but I don't know where the worst loss would be. There's no shame in losing to Penn State, although you shouldn't get swept by Penn State. And you can't really lose to Indiana at home, as bad as they have been. And then Illinois gives a lot of people a headache. But at this time of year, what's at stake? Not an option. Not an option. You can email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com. We'll have Charles Barkley, great moments of Charles Barkley from Jimmy Kimmel coming up in about 10 minutes. That's pretty good. College Football Power Index is going to be official in April, but the initial numbers are out. Our dear friend Brad Edwards, a lot of love for the Big Ten, and the 2018 season could be, might be it is, it's a Harry Caray tribute, could be the 2.0 version of what the SEC got last year with two teams.
If FPI is correct about the Big Ten being the best conference, about there being five of the top 12 teams in the country from the Big Ten, whoever wins the conference this year, even if it is another two-loss team, should have enough quality wins on the schedule to be able to get into that playoff.
You are loaded, Big Ten, with quality win opportunity. Now, the question you're wondering, where is Nebraska at? What's the criteria? Criteria is pretty simple. How have you done the last 4 years? What grade do you give Nebraska with from 2015 through 18? I think, God, can you give Nebraska anything above a C? Can you even give them a C? 6-7, 9-4, 4-8, 9-4, 9-4, 6-7, 9-4, 4-8. I think you got to give him a D+.
C- maybe? D+.
Same thing.
Yeah.
They're cousins that don't speak to each other.
Neither give you credit.
Right. So that's one part of the criteria. The other part is, do you have a new head coach? Yes is the answer for Nebraska. Do you have a returning quarterback? Yes, but not one that is started. And then the other heavy weight on this thing is how are you going to look this year with your starters? How many returning starters do you have? Do you have anyone coming back that's worth a darn? So we won't know for a while. The win projection number last year was 5.5. And when that came out last year at this time and then got reaffirmed in the summer months, y'all felt really disrespected and frustrated. And then you realize they were wrong. Because 5.5 is way better than 4. So the FPI says the Big Ten is going to be insanely good. And Nebraska starts out right now with the FPI of 50. Central Florida is 53. Michigan's 11. Sparty is 10. Iowa's 25. And then you have Ohio State at 4, Penn State at 8. Here is my theory. I think when the win total comes out, Nebraska's going to be right at 6.5. And a lot of that is on their schedule. And you've seen this happen in basketball, where Nebraska's just really, really good. They've gotten better, and there's someone you don't want to jack with late in the season. I think that could happen for football. Assuming the offensive line gets figured out, they play a little bit faster and get some turnovers on defense, and you find a quarterback. There's a lot of ifs and things that need to happen. But can Nebraska make a jump, kind of like Central Florida did with the football power index, going from 65 to 15? Can you, you know, say your starting point is 50. How big a jump can you make if you're Nebraska? I mean, you went from 65 to 15 at Central Florida. There's 49 spots to jump. And I guess what's unreasonable? Probably top 10's unreasonable. Top 25's a major over-delivery. But it could happen. And if you're 7-5, hanging out there, I think, and you're not just bludgeoned by anybody, you get better, not worse, I think you'll live with that. Kind of goes back to what Matt Davison was talking about with the Chamber, about putting a team on the field you're proud of. Let's get into that for a moment. When's the last time you were proud of Nebraska football? When were you really just, you stood up and said, man, that was awesome? And I think, like, the last time you had that feeling of admiration, I'm talking wins on the field. I mean, I think, like, the last universal time you were proud of Nebraska football was the punt formation for Fultz. I mean, I think you were proud to honor him. But I'm talking win-loss. I like this team. Feel good about them. Maybe Wisconsin on the road. 2016, where you lost in overtime. Before that, maybe when you beat Miami at home, 2014. But like on a national scale, the last time the rest of the country looked at Nebraska and said, man, that team's for real. You have to go back to the 09 Texas game. That's almost a freaking decade. That's my take. Where you've assembled a squad that got better, played at a high level, and was top 10 good. From a pride and proud standpoint, when's the last time you were proud of Nebraska football?
There's been individual games where I've been proud of how the team has played.
Mm-hmm.
15 Michigan State, 16 Oregon, but not necessarily of the season.
Sure.
Or like There's been moments where...
you're proud of the season or the Sparty upset,
right? And just how they kind of
macro though, you've got to just bang your head against the wall with so many close losses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a 10-win team.
Yeah, exactly.
And NFL talent,
and that's why you look at that game and go, "What could have been?" Because they rallied around that game and they just played so well, just played out of their minds.
They just said, "Screw it."
Right.
You're already 3-6, and Purdue just kneecapped you. So we'll see pride's important, and a team that you'll be proud of. So all the things that go into that, commitment, excellence, toughness, outworking the opponent, those are all, bullet points that you'll see with this new regime that Frost is kind of built on. More from Brad Edwards. From a national standpoint, you have, again, people straying from Alabama.
This is actually the fifth year in a row that Alabama has not been preseason number one in FPI, and the reason is because Alabama just defies the odds year after year by losing about half of its starters and continuing to be a national title contender, if not a national champion. But FPI says Clemson right now is the team to favor.
Clemson's got 15 starters back, 8 on defense. I know they're really good. Tua and Jalen are back. I know Bama lost 10 starters. I guess I'll see it, and I'll believe it when I see it, the time Nick Saban doesn't reload on offense or defense to be in that playoff conversation. There will be payback galore for Auburn. that is going to be very real. So I don't stray from Bama because they just, you've learned your lesson.
Do you ever, it kind of runs through my head sometimes that like you're waiting for a season where Alabama only wins like 8 games. And it, every time it feels like they might not have their best team, by like game 4 or 5, it's they've just taken over.
The last time that they totally thought they could roll their helmet out and win was his third season. First season, they went like 7-6. Second season, they won a championship. Third season, everyone got fat and happy, and they went 10-3 and still put a fitty spot up on Michigan State. So he doesn't let them get comfortable or take really a breath beyond a week after winning the championship. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't. So I think as he gets closer to his 70s, he'll eventually get a death blow from an assistant's standpoint. He'll lose somebody that'll just be too tough to replace. Right now, he's kind of just retooling like Urban Meyer is with guys that get great opportunities. And Saban's been rated a lot from a coordinator standpoint, and they just keep on keeping on because it's him and it's his death grip on control. But 50, too high, too low, just right for Nebraska. I think it's very generous to start the year out with the power index. 50 is very, very generous based on all the things in the criteria that are off.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Oh, we'll have some entertainment from Charles Barkley coming up shortly. He almost got traded to the Lakers, and he'll tell you about it when he was on Jimmy Kimmel. Welcome in, Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2. The home shows were rocking. Deb, how are you?
I'm good. I'm back at it. And we decided, you know, we didn't have the most perfect weather last weekend. I know people that didn't get out on the ice and snow. And we decided, let's just keep these home show prices the same. And we'll do the same deals as we did at the home shows through the end of this weekend. So if you come in and see us tomorrow or Saturday, we'll still honor those home show prices and deals that we had going. And you haven't missed a thing. You just come in, and we've got spas in stock. I had a guy come in this afternoon and buy one. We're delivering it tomorrow morning at 11. So we can do it fast. It's fast. It's not a long, drawn-out process.
You know what? That is very convenient for the customer, and you're all about making the customer happy. You've been doing it for 25-plus years. Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln in Omaha, spasonline.com. So you have home show prices. That is going on. You're going to take care of folks that way because there's no snow and rain or ice or wind chill. It's convenient to come see you. And if it wasn't convenient, you'd deliver it anyway. You get the spa there on time, wouldn't you?
That's right. We could make it happen, and we really do have the whole package. We've got financing. We have an electrician we use. We deliver it, set it up, best customer service after the sale. So there's really no reason that you shouldn't come and pick one out.
Deb, it will happen. We'll watch an NCAA tournament game in the tub together. How's that?
That sounds like a good idea.
That sounds like a great idea. Deb, when can folks see you tomorrow and this weekend? What are the hours?
Oh, okay, our hours on Friday are 10 to 6, and then Saturday we're here 10 to 4. You can also find us online at spasonline.com. Our address is 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. and 138th in Industrial in Omaha.
Deb, we will be talking some hoops, and we'll be talking some spas, a way to relax. Thanks so much for everything.
Okay, Chris. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, up in Omaha off 138th and Industrial Road. And can log on spasonline.com. The pricing is home show pricing still for you. So get that, pull the trigger on it. Get one locked in. I might just show up tomorrow, say, sweetie, we got a spa. We got a spa for the patio. What do you think of that? Oh, it's not that deep. You don't need a life jacket. She can't swim. It breaks my heart. Charles Barkley, swimming and whatever him and his boys were drinking in the late 80s. So the setup is this. Charles Barkley on Jimmy Kimmel last night. Chuck, Sir Charles, almost a Laker. Almost a Laker. And it's pretty good. We dive into trading, alcohol, and weed.
Is it true you almost played for the Lakers? You were almost sent to the Lakers?
Yeah, you know, I got traded to the Lakers. So I get a call from my agent one morning, and he says, I think we got a deal. You're going to the Lakers. So me and two of my boys, this is about 11:30 during the day.
And what year is this?
Somewhere in the mid-80s.
Okay, so you're in Philly.
Yeah, I want to say 90, somewhere in the late 80s.
Okay.
And I was so excited. So me and my boys went out to celebrate. We started getting drunk in the middle of the day. I was so excited. My agent called me back about 3 hours later. He said, the Sixers pull out the deal. And we got a game that night.
Who, listen, who hasn't gotten blasted during the day at one point in their life? He was going to get out of Philly. Based on their football fans, they were good in basketball back then. They're good now, but. You can imagine. So he's celebrating. It's drinky drink time. Well, it didn't last. More from Chuckster.
I don't remember anything about that game. First of all, I was so pissed, but I was so drunk, too. I have no idea what happened that game.
You don't know your stats? Did you?
I do not even remember the game, actually. Oh, like, I can remember a lot of games I played, but that day, we were so excited. I was getting out of Philadelphia, and I was blasted. I'm not going to lie. And we had a lunch. We were doing shots and everything.
Good for Charles. It wasn't one of these beer 30s at noon or 9. It was, let's do some shots. Let's get out of Philly. And he played the, how about that? How easy would it have been to say, can't do it? That's happened in the morning. Can't get in. Sorry. I'm hammered. But he went and played. And he probably still went 20-10. More from Charles about being hammered at work.
Was that the only time you played while intoxicated?
No. Let me rephrase that.
Okay, yeah.
That was the only
time. How do you rephrase no?
No. That was the only time I played intoxicated.
I see.
Okay, I have played hungover before.
You played hungover, yeah. Which technically you could.
They're not the same.
Yeah, they're not the same.
Yeah. But that was the only time I played while I drank before a game.
Do you think that goes on less nowadays? Are the players more straight, or is it that they're just all smoking pot now?
Can you imagine trying to play basketball at that level or any level on beer or shots? You imagine trying to play hoops loaded? I mean, my Lord, no way. Not that thing. You're running up and down. Someone's posting you up. You get elbowed in the gut, bleh, everywhere. Done. There's things that you can do, broom ball, where you can show up feeling nice. Golf, yes. But, I mean, not show up, but help get some Amen juice in you. But good on him for manning up and earning this paycheck. Now we get into the weed and alcohol discussion from Chuck.
I don't understand the fascination with pot.
You're not a pot smoker.
I've smoked pot 5 times in my life at the most, and all they wanted me to made me do was want to eat potato chips. I didn't get, like, I got friends who love it, I'll admit that.
Uh-huh.
It didn't take me no place.
Right.
It didn't make me feel this a type of way. I just wanted potato chips.
I just wanted potato chips. That's all I wanted. Didn't take me someplace. You weren't comfortably numb, Chuck. No, just give me more Funyuns, brother. Lastly, Chuck isn't judging anybody on this, the weed and alcohol discussion.
Like I say, I don't judge other people, but I don't understand the fascination with pot.
Thank you. Give me about 7 handfuls of gummy bears. Let me pass out for a weekend. That sounds like fun. Or give me 7 handfuls of aspirin. Let me shake off the bourbon. Chuck going to work drunk. I have not had any today, I swear to you. We'll wind down to Thursday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time. Hopefully you got a hold of the Hail Varsity recruiting issue. Always welcome to subscribe, 855-3-HUSKER. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. And don't forget about the Varsity Club, either premium message board for you, the Nebraska fans out there, /subscribe to HailVarsity.com. Able to do that as well. Reminder to you, if you're out and about tonight and you're texting and driving, there are stupider things to be doing, but that list is short. Behavior is dangerous. That behavior being texting and driving for every driver. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So when you're sending and receiving a text, the driver can take his eyes off the road or her eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. That's like driving blind at 55 miles per hour for more than the length of a football field. Texting increases your crash risk by 23 times, and texting and driving is illegal. Fines between $1 and $300. No text message more important than your life or the lives of your passengers and others on the roadway. So heed this warning, a message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Colton, what are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm not working, so probably just going to hang out.
Good for you. Making dinner or not?
We might make chicken stir fry.
Is that pretty sweet?
Yeah, as long as you make it right. I suppose.
I need Colton's. Okay, so you're doing stir fry.
Yeah.
Give me the ingredients. I've had stir fry before, but I don't know if you go chalk with the ingredients or you mix it up.
I think we're just doing chicken, a bag of frozen stir fry vegetables, and some like
little soy sauce, ginger,
like an orange sauce, like a stir fry packet.
Good.
So that way we don't have to mess with spices or anything.
Do you have to go to a special store, one of those? Specified, there's a few of them in town here that are just awesome. Or do you just go to the regular old grocery store?
We just grabbed it from Target.
Okay.
So, all right. But I'm not. I mean, I'd probably prefer if, like, I was going, like, traditional.
My buddy,
to do it all fresh.
I got to say this. Iowa Russ has this, God, and he hasn't invited me over for it. But he has this sushi bazooka. Mm-hmm. So he'll go buy everything he needs at the market and then, you know, a high-level seafood place. You don't want to, you know.
Kill anybody.
Send someone to go on the can for, you know, 7 days straight.
Right.
With bad fish. But, yeah, he's done, not stir-fry, but he's done the sushi bazooka thing. And then he taunts some of us with pictures of it. So that's good.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I need to look at that. I'm the only one in my family that'll eat sushi. They, however, will make me take them out for Valentine's Day, drop a fortune, and they'll eat 2 bites. Keeping score. Tomorrow at 4 is where we'll be at can check us out. Hail Varsity Radio back with you tomorrow. We'll get you all the Husker baseball you want. Mike Babcock going to be with us. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, he'll be on. We're chasing one more special guest as well. That's exciting. You miss any part of the show, a lot of football and hoops with Nebraska. Can log on HailVarsity.com. Can go to iTunes. Can check out ESPNLincoln.com for select portions for the podcast. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks.